Raiders are catching lap traffic.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 148 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a fantastic Labor Day weekend. Hopefully we're able to enjoy a three-day weekend. Hope everyone had safe travels to and from the track and that everyone stayed as safe as possible and that you are staying safe if you're in the path of the hurricane. Hope you enjoyed your kickoff to college football. We got the kickoff to the NFL on Thursday. Fantasy leagues are drafted. It's time to enjoy both football and NASCAR. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get the dual TVs down here in the basement for the first time this weekend with both NASCAR and football on Sunday. I am stoked about that. All right. First things first, let's get this out of the way now, this whole weather debate from Sunday. If they had to start this race at 1 a.m. on Monday, they were going to start this race at 1 a.m., I think. There is no doubt in my mind, due to the circumstances of an impending hurricane, we were going to get the race started. There was no doubt in my mind. If they had races Monday, you would have had issues with the locals trying to get out of the area, the track, the campers, the entire NASCAR team, drivers, their teams. NASCAR was racing Sunday, and since they knew they were getting a break at some point in time in the weather, no doubt that they needed to. They got it in. You know, different circumstances, too, from Chicago to Daytona to this past weekend. You know, all different factors. This one, they got right. They did what they needed to do. And speaking of this weekend from Darlington, make sure you tune in tonight, PETM, Tuesday night. They got their show going on as well. They were at Darlington this past weekend. I was with them there last year. The stories to come out of the campgrounds of Darlington are pretty epic, and I know they've got some good ones to check in to tell you guys this week. So make sure you tune in at some point this week to the PETM podcast. Let's see. I hope you all enjoyed the bonus show from last Thursday with Matt Tift and Aaron Studwell. We had a lot of fun doing that. Both of our teams, Matt's Buckeyes, my Wolverines, got the job done, but not in any glorious fashion by any means. Both teams struggled a bit, Michigan more so than OSU. Both teams have some work to do between now and the middle of November if these two schools are going to put on the classic that we as college football fans would like to see from them with one of the longest rivals in college football history. So that was fun. 4,000 followers on Twitter happened on Sunday. Went hard during that rain delay, and you guys were awesome. Got a giveaway coming up later tonight. So excited about that. But before I do, don't forget, Lap Traffic Podcast, part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads has you covered from sports to entertainment, so go check out bigheadsmedia.com. All right, another big show lined up for you guys today. Very excited about it. From Richmond Raceway, track president Dennis Bickmeyer will be calling in. They're hosting me in a couple weeks. I thought it would be awesome to host them. So very excited that that worked out. Got you covered for your race recaps from Darlington for the Xfinity and Cup Series. Social media shout-outs and a giveaway tonight. Very excited about that. Let's see. Brian Newdorf is calling in to talk about the weather for this upcoming weekend and some shenanigans from this past weekend. Got your lucky dog lap down picks and fantasy to close it out with a new leader with 1 week to go. Yes, Aaron has been unseated at the top spot, so it's going to be a fun show tonight. I'm excited about it. Let's get Richmond Raceway track president Dennis Bickmeyer on the line. Lapped Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He has dedicated his career to covering sports for the last 20 years within NASCAR. He's worked with the former Anaheim Angels, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, the LA Rams, the Dodgers. He's worked with Auto Club. He spent time at my home track, MIS. He currently serves as the track president for Richmond Raceway. The only thing maybe going against him is I think he's a Buckeye fan, but welcome to the show anyways, Dennis Bickmeyer. Dennis, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I appreciate that introduction. And yes, born and raised in Ohio and born and raised a Buckeye. So we can chat about that some other time. But I got to tell you really quickly, I love the rivalry. I loved living in Michigan, though you need to know that. I spent about 3.5 years at MIS and really loved living there. I loved the area. I loved the community where the racetrack was located. And we lived just outside of Ann Arbor. So that was always a lot of fun as well. Wearing my scarlet and gray around there.
I get it. Absolutely. It's funny. I last week I did a bonus show. I had Matt Tift on the show and we did a little college football preview. Matt's obviously from Ohio too. So we had a good time with that. No, I love the rival, all in good fun. All right, let's kick things off here. Dennis, coming off Labor Day weekend, how was your weekend? Were you able to enjoy it with it being so close to race weekend for you guys, or were you to pedal to the metal?
Nah, it's all pedal to the metal. And actually, I was in Darlington. So myself and probably five others from our team, we were down in Darlington, some working. Our road show team that does a lot of our marketing, they were down there with our display and our simulator car and just talking to race fans down there, promoting the upcoming playoff races here at Richmond. So I was in Darlington. Great weekend. Unfortunately, you know, the rains hit and race got pushed way back. So I wasn't able to see the start, but I, you know, did my media obligations and jumped in the car and listened to the race the entire way back and was able to see the checkered flag once I got home. So, and then we worked yesterday, Labor Day. We'll take a floating holiday some other time after the race.
Fair enough. All right, before we get into NASCAR talk, Richmond made a huge announcement today. Indy will be back in 2020. Talk about the excitement, how cool making that announcement was. Brings a new opportunity to get new people to the track. How excited are you about that?
Well, very, very excited. And then, yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Like, we're really thrilled to be able to bring IndyCar back to Richmond Raceway. And I say that because they ran here from 2001 to 2009. So after 11 years, we'll be bringing them back to Richmond Raceway, really fast three-quarter mile oval for those tracks. And, you know, we've kept a close eye on what's been going on at Iowa and Gateway, two other short ovals. The racing's been really good at those places, and it just seemed like the right time. And we're just thankful that we were able to put a deal together with these guys to be on that schedule in 2020. You know, I shared with a lot of people today. We had over 100 people out for our announcement today, a lot of business and community leaders and fans and things. And, you know, I've been the track president here since 2011. And the one question, two questions really, that I would get, when are you bringing the trucks back and when are you bringing IndyCar back? Well, I'm happy to say that we're bringing both of those back in 2020 because the trucks will be racing here in our spring race weekend next year. So just a lot of fun to kind of really diversify the product on the racetrack.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the truck. I had that written down here to bring up to you as well. You know, there's been a lot of buzz around the 2020 schedule and beyond, you know, and from a fan perspective, you know, I'm asking you to speculate on the future is from a tracks and all that kind of stuff. There's no point in that. And I understand that, but what I, like you mentioned, the trucks are coming back. I am super excited. Everybody loves truck racing. Everybody loves night truck racing, and everybody loves short track night truck racing. And you're bringing all three of those next year at Richmond. I am very excited to see the trucks on the marquee at Richmond next year.
Yeah, and again, they were here. They've been gone for a long time. But, you know, they put on some phenomenal racing. So I think our fans are really pumped about that. And as part of that race weekend in April, they'll be running under the lights and just another added benefit for our fans. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we also threw a Pro All-Star Series, a super late model race and like five other divisions this year on the track in March. And we're talking to those guys about coming back next year. And so, again, I just keep saying, you know, our big thing is to get more racing product on our racetrack. We had a $30 million renovation last year of our infield. And with that, you know, if you can get more racing on the racetrack, that's just going to expose that new attraction in the infield to more people. And then more people get to go down there and enjoy it and really get up close to the sport.
Absolutely. No, I love that. There's nothing wrong with getting more racing out there to the public. So any way you can do it, that's fantastic. Dennis, let's take a right here for a second before we get into a little bit more NASCAR talk and about race weekend coming up for you guys. Tell everyone a little bit about your background. You've done a lot outside of NASCAR. Anything still stick out to you as a favorite before you got into NASCAR?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously early in my career, had a few different positions on, you know, with some stick and ball teams, as we call them, you know, interned with the Dodgers and then got my first full-time job with the LA Rams. And that's when they were in LA and then they moved to St. Louis and then now they're back in LA, but I never did go to St. Louis. But, you know, I got to tell you, my first year with the LA Rams, I was working in the public relations department and, we made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. And what a thrill that was to be, you know, a step away from the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we ran into a buzzsaw called the San Francisco 49ers back then. And they were a bit of a dynasty back in the late 80s and early 90s. So they put it on us pretty good in the NFC Championship game. And we went home and they went on to win the Super Bowl. So there, that memory always sticks out to me. And then obviously working for the Mighty Ducks and the Anaheim Angels at that time, the Walt Disney Company owned us. And so that was a lot of fun working for a company as big as the Walt Disney Company. Certainly learned a lot about marketing and being creative and things during my time with the Walt Disney Company. But really the turning point for me was when Roger Penske, you know, obviously a name that's well known in your area, built a racetrack out in California, in Fontana, California. And I went out there and volunteered for a couple of races in 97 and 98 and got my break into motorsports in 1999 and haven't looked back.
That's all, man. That's one hell of a legacy. I love that. That's very cool. It's an awesome story. I got to circle back though to your talk about getting to a conference championship playoff game. I'm a Lions fan and 36 years old. Those words don't go together for me. So I can't comprehend that. So
yeah, well, you know, and I'm a Steelers fan, so I got to tell you, you know, we talked to Buckeyes and then I'm also a Steelers fan because I grew up right on the border there, Ohio, Northern Panhandle, West Virginia, and Western Pennsylvania. So we had some pretty good runs with the Steelers. So
absolutely.
Sorry you haven't been able to experience that yet, but hang in there.
It's all right. I will. Dennis, I'm so glad you're able to call in and add another track that's called into the show to highlight and showcase race weekends. I think it's important for tracks to get airtime on platforms like this, not because I get out to that many people, but I think the tracks themselves sometimes don't get the full attention that they deserve. You know, a lot goes into making the experience at the track what it is for race weekend. Each track tries to provide some sort of uniqueness. You know, we all go for the racing and the extra amenities that tracks provide, from ticket packages to fan experiences, all vary. And as anyone that has listened to the show, they found that out with MIS, Chicago, Martinsville, and now Richmond. So aside from racing, what sort of experiences can fans expect in a couple of weeks at Richmond?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. I appreciate that because I think you nailed it. I mean, you know, I always tell people the racing is the culmination of a great day at the racetrack. But, you know, you can there could be 100 different things that you can do at the racetrack on your lead up to actually going in and watching the race. So, I mean, I think for us, it all goes back to just the overall entertainment. You know, we'll have some band out here throughout race weekend in September in a couple of weeks. A ton of driver Q&As. We've got a stage out in the Midway. We also have here, we're pretty unique. We have a 6,000-seat amphitheater, and we do our driver's meetings in the amphitheater, and it's open to fans that have a ticket. So, you know, sometimes people seem to think that, you know, the driver's meetings are these big secretive things and they're tucked away in a tent somewhere or in a building somewhere. We brought that out to the fans, and it's really cool. I mean, it really gives fans the ability to kind of, you know, get a peek behind the curtain a little bit. So that's been a real win for us over the last couple of years. And, you know, we just built this, rebuilt our infield and cut the ribbon on it last September. That was a $30 million renovation to our infield. But it was all focused around the fan and getting the fan closer to the sport than ever before. And the fans here have the ability to actually walk into the fan side of the garage. So the garage has a walkway, a fan viewing walkway that's elevated. And obviously there's the competition side of the garage. That's where all the work's getting done on the cars. But there's a fan side of the garage too. And literally you're an arm's length away from the mechanics and the crews working on the race cars. So we're thrilled that we have, you know, a few unique elements that we do. But you're right. I mean, all of us as track promoters, we throw a lot at these weekends. We put a lot into customer service to make sure that the race fans are having a good time and getting a lot of value for their ticket.
Well, you know, that's a key word I think you said there is value for the ticket. And coming from someone like you that's worked in the stick and ball sports, that maybe it's hard to compare the value, I think, sometimes with stick and ball. You know, you pay, let's just throw a round number out there, $100 to go see a professional football game. You're really just showing up and getting that professional football game ticket. You're getting your 3.5 hours there. But let's say you pay that same $100 for a NASCAR ticket. You're not just getting that 3.5 hour race. You're getting music entertainment. You're getting fan plaza entertainment, you know, that some places have carnivals. Some places have, you know, blow up inflatables for the kids to go run around. And you get golf or, you know, a race car. You know, it is a lot extra packed into what I think you get for a NASCAR ticket than you do the other stick and ball sports.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. And you know, I mean, again, you're right. It does go back to adding value. And, you know, some of us at the racetrack, you know, we still offer free parking. There are some NFL stadiums where it costs $40 just to get into the parking lot.
Sure.
You know, so free parking, we have big facilities, there's no doubt. So we try to move people around with trams and make it easier for them and make it easier for parents who are bringing their kids to an event. You know, again, I worked at Michigan. That's a massive facility up there. We had a fantastic a tram route and everything. We've got that here in Richmond as well. We got about 1,100 acres here in Richmond. So, you know, people movement is important, getting people from point A to point B so they can get into the kind of the raceway proper and start experiencing all the fun things that we have to do. So that's really important to us. Like I said, we draw a lot of comparisons to the other sports. I mean, heck, here at Richmond, I think maybe at Michigan as well, you know, you can still bring in your own cooler and a 16x16x16 soft-sided cooler that, you know, you can load up with your favorite beverages and some sandwiches. You can't do that at other events around
Absolutely.
The country, whether it's a sporting event or a concert or whatever that might be.
Absolutely. That's huge. Absolutely. I agree completely there. Dennis, talk about a couple of like your different ticket packages. You guys got a 2-day same seat package. You got Chaos Corner. You got Victory Lane Club. You know, you've got something for the economic side of things. And then you got some higher end luxury packages for fans.
Yeah, no question. And I think that's important. You know, people want different things out of their experiences at the racetrack. So Chaos Corner that you referenced is actually a pretty cool story. Now, that one's a little different. It's a Turn 4 grandstand area that we've repurposed. We got like about 800 bar stools up there. We got drink rails. That area is a 21 and over area. But that area does not allow coolers. So what we did there was it's a $25 ticket, but we lowered all the concession prices in that area. So you can get, you know, $3 beer there if you want. And And I'll tell you, it's been a home run for us. We've had it now for three races. And you look at the folks, you know, you get some younger people over there. You get some veteran race fans over there. But it's turned into a real social atmosphere. Just people having a good time. You can, again, you're parked on a bar stool, and some other people, maybe some of your other friends, are standing around. Just a real neat experience. Great view of the racetrack as well. I'll add the 2-day package, saying, you know, the same seat. That's really important to fans. That, you know, our fans, I love it because they talk about their seat. I mean, that's how much ownership they take in our sport and the seats that they purchase. And so to have that ability to have your seat for the Xfinity Series playoff race and the Cup Monster Energy Cup Series playoff race is really important to people. And again, outside of Chaos Corner, just our regular reserve grandstand seating starts as low as $35. And then up in our tower seats and on our mezzanine, you know, those seats are just some of the best viewing in all of motorsports. Those are your individual seats. They're not bench seats. So a lot of different offerings here at Richmond Raceway. You mentioned Victory Lane Club. That was a premium hospitality area that we built as part of our new infield. That's been a home run for us to really put hospitality right at the garage level, where you can actually look into the garages as well from the hospitality. So we keep trying to redefine things here at Richmond Raceway. We're doing the same thing in the sport overall. And really, it just comes down to being able to offer a variety, and then, you know, let the consumer decide what he or she wants out of their experience.
I absolutely love everything you just said. That's fantastic. I'm excited. I'm really excited to see and get out there in a couple of weeks and check out this fan walkway area in the garage. That sounds like a very cool concept. I'm very excited to see what that looks like in person. That's awesome. You know, for years, Richmond used to close the regular season. Now you guys are the second race of the playoffs, second race of round one of the playoffs. Have you noticed a vibe change from the fans now that you guys are a playoff race versus closing out the regular season?
Definitely. We've seen that the vibe change and the energy level change for being in the playoffs. You know, we love that spot, being the last race of the regular season. That worked well for us for a long time. But, you know, as things changed, you know, the field expanded to 16 drivers. So, you know, not a lot was changing here once we got to Richmond on the lineup as to who was going to make the playoffs. So so the move into the playoffs, to have that opportunity to move into the playoffs, was a big deal for us. You know, fans were clamoring for another short track in the playoffs to go along with Martinsville. So, you know, us moving in there really helped the sport as well, to get another short track in the playoffs. So love the spot that we're in, race number two of the Monster Energy Cup Series playoffs. And then just the opportunity to kick off the Xfinity Series playoffs. I think that's a lot of fun for us as well. And ultimately to be one of the tracks that you know, through the playoffs will help decide a champion. It kind of separates, you know, certainly our September event from our April event.
Absolutely. Well, this is going to be my first playoff race experience, and I am very excited about getting there. That's for sure. Dennis, tell everyone where they can follow you, Richmond Raceway, and where everyone can get tickets.
Yeah, that's great. If you're a Twitter person, you can follow me at Richmond Prez with a Z, or follow us at Richmond Raceway. Our guys do a great job on all of our social channels. I'm not an Instagram person. I guess I got to try to jump on that, because my kids are they're all over Instagram.
Me either. So, I'm with you.
Yeah, but you know, you just look for Richmond Raceway on all the different social channels: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But me personally, I lean towards Twitter as my spot to really interact with the fans and enjoy that.
Awesome. And where can everyone get tickets?
Well, go to richmondraceway.com. There's just a lot of good news and information on there. You know, facility maps. You can actually have an interactive map. You can actually see what tickets are available. And when you click something that's of interest to you, you can actually look at your view, the view that you're going to have. So really encourage everyone to go to richmondraceway.com or don't be shy. Give us a call here, 866-455-RACE, which is 7223.
Awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Dennis Bickmeyer, track president from Richmond Raceway, for calling into the show tonight. Dennis, I can't wait to get to Richmond here in a couple weeks and come hang out with you guys. I'm really looking forward to it, man. Thanks so much.
Well, appreciate you having me on. We'll look forward to having you here in Richmond and experiencing everything that we have to offer, and look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Lap Traffic Nation, how cool is that? Another track on the list of guests on the Lap Traffic podcast. So excited to get to Richmond. So glad they took some time and Dennis took some time to call into the show tonight. I can't wait. I'm pumped to get out, go check out a new track. And it's awesome. They got trucks coming back next year, which is so cool. Speaking of trucks, I wish we had some trucks to talk about tonight, but we do not. One more week until we see how round one finishes out here in the playoffs for the trucks. Friday night, September 13th. We got to wait another week and a few days here before we get to see some trucks back on the track. But I'm looking very forward to trucks getting back on the track. That said, we were at Darlington this past weekend. Well, not we as an I, but we as a sport were at Darlington for some throwbacks in both the Xfinity and Cup Series race, which saw Tyler Riddick pick up the Stage 1 win, Ryan Blaney with the Stage 2 win, race winners. Initially, the on-track winner was Denny Hamlin, but the eventual race winner was Mr. Cole Custer. You know, funny as I'm saying this, I wonder what happens with the trophy. Like, does the team leave with the trophy, or do they, do they hold on to it and then give it? Because do you imagine, like, yep, Denny's checked out. He's on his plane with the trophy sitting next to him. And, hey, by the way, we're going to need you to send that thing back. I kind of imagine they probably make him hold on. Maybe they send him to the shop or something there. All right. Last year in the Cup Series, we saw a handful of times someone lose their playoff bonus points for the win. When NASCAR announced that this year they would be taking wins away as well, I don't know about you guys, but I expected to see it happen in the Cup Series just because that's where we were really seeing it happen last year. But that has not happened, but it has happened in the trucks and the Xfinity Series. And it definitely had an impact this weekend, especially when the initial race winner was a Cup regular and second place was an Xfinity regular, which definitely helped Cole Custer keep things close with Christopher Bell, giving both of those guys now 6 wins on the season. Stage 1, pretty tame. But how about that finish in Stage 2 as Blaney and Allgaier were going for it? Allgaier hit the wall, finished the stage in second, but only able to finish the race in 10th. You know, each week I keep talking about Allgaier as far as what I think could happen. And I think as each week passes, I argue with myself on if I'm surprised or not. And I guess this far into the season, this is the norm. But based on what I saw last year and what expectations for Allgaier were this year, you know, expected him to be up there in talks with the guys who have wins and battling for this championship. So I'm still kind of shocked that Allgaier is not in the discussion. And that's not to say he couldn't go out there and win this week at Indy and get himself back in the mix and you know, heat up during the playoffs. But I just don't see that right now. You know, how about Tyler Reddick? Mr. Consistency this year with a strong point lead. Not too shabby, 4 wins. Goes out, leads the most laps at Darlington this past Saturday. Finishes second once penalties given to race winner initially Denny Hamlin. And Cole Custer slides up one spot, which slides Tyler Reddick up one spot. You know, you guys both know I'm big fans of both these guys, a lot in part because, one, they're good racers, and two, they support the podcast, which is always helpful. So I love those two guys, and I got to tell you, I feel bad for Tyler in this one because, you know, like I said, he led the most laps, and Cole Custer over there gets the race win, right place, right time. You know, he was charging towards the front. But, man, Cole Custer didn't lead a lap of this thing and gets 5 bonus points, a trophy, a check, all that good stuff. and Tyler Reddick sitting there in second when it's all said and done. Oh, that's got to sting. I wouldn't be surprised Tyler Reddick comes out this weekend at Indy and evens things up even more than what he already has in the win column there. And how can we not talk about Junior out of the car for almost a year, involved in that horrific plane crash just a couple weeks ago, comes out, gets the highest finish of any one of his cars, and again, once penalties are handed out, goes from sixth on track to a top five in an iconic paint scheme, drove up front all day. Just an awesome experience for you to be a fan and witness Dale Jr. on the track in a rare occasion there. I tell you, if that guy doesn't love the sport, I don't know who does. Just because of his enthusiasm in the booth currently at his current role. Just, you know, tremendous on-track talent. Multiple Daytona 500 wins. You know, never got that championship, you know, and I'm sure that probably eats at him maybe a touch, but hey, I mean, he's got an awesome family, he's got the booth, he's got restaurants, he's got endorsements, he's got the ability to still go out there and perform, which I think is incredible. So if you were there this weekend, relish, take that fact in that you got to see Dale Jr. Race in a Darlington throwback in the Xfinity Series and go out there and hang with the likes of current Cup drivers like Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, and current Xfinity dominators and Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Tyler Reddick. Just an awesome, awesome experience, and glad I was able to watch that. One notable for me was excuse me, three rookies in the top 11 with a field that had Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, and Junior. I think that's awesome. And, you know, they say, you know, names are made here. That's a pretty cool thing to throw on your resume, you know, to say you finish in the top 10 with talent like that out there on the track. Very cool. You guys know, not thrilled with the standings in terms of the lack of playoff competition, the lack of a bubble, if you will, in the Xfinity Series. They're out there racing. They're still going out there winning and trying to seed themselves if you're in the top 12. But if you're out of the top 12, there's really no competition going on to try to make this thing interesting as the Xfinity Series has two more weeks left in their regular season, this week at Indy, next week at Las Vegas. So it is what it is, barring some random miracle going on here. The 12 are who they are, and that's Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Justin Allgaier, Austin Cindric, Chase Briscoe, Noah Gregson, Michael Annette, Justin Haley, John Hunter Nemechek, Brandon Jones, Ryan Seat, and Greg Alding. Man, I'm winded after that. Rusty over there at PETM, man, he rolls out about 20 names without having to take a breath. I can't get through 12. All right, I guess I got some work to do. But nonetheless, we will see who goes out there and fights for another win this Saturday afternoon from the Brickyard. All right, let's transition over to the Cup race, which saw Kurt Busch take the Stage 1 win, Kyle Busch with the Stage 2 win, and that Jones boy with the race win. All right. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this thing was happening. I'm glad it did. The fans were still packed, the stands were still packed with fans. It didn't look like too many people went anywhere. The lights were on. The throwbacks looked spectacular. And we went racing Saturday night into Monday morning. Now, as expected, with a race that started when it did, it should have been ending when it started. You know, I don't think it's a stretch to say guys maybe raced a little bit more cautiously to not have some big 30-minute red flag or something like that to delay it even more. How about you guys? Did you make it till the end of this thing? I did, barely, but I did. I hung on. All right, what to talk about from this race? Couple key things here. The first is that HMS came to play early on. All four cars looked good. They showed early speed. But, there is a but, none of them finished in the top 10. But, as we all know, it's not how you start, it's where you finish. And none of them finished in the top 10, which is not good. I don't think, right? It's not good. You're this close to the playoffs, and you as an organization are looking at potentially your seventh time, right, not making it into the playoffs. And we're deep into the summer, almost hitting fall, and the playoffs, yes, playoffs, and you can't put a car into the top 10 at a non-plate race, right? Like, I think that's an issue. You've heard Jeff Striegel and I talk about this at length over the last couple months here. And as an organization, they're struggling there a little bit. All right. But Kyle Larson, though, picked up his best finish since Chicago. And I look at Kyle Larson, second place finish, as a plus and a step in the right direction. He led laps. He looked good on the track. While he battled for the lead with Bowman at the end of Chicago, and he didn't lead, the last lap here, he looked good. I think this was Larson's best performance all season, and I'll include Chicago in that one because Chicago, Larson came on late at the end, where this past weekend at Darlington, Larson was up there early and late in the race. He finished third in stage one, fifth in stage two, and finished the race second. So I look at this as a good, solid race for Kyle Larson, and hopefully something that might be able to propel him here to make a little bit noise. Maybe he doesn't get it done this weekend at Indy. You lack the banking at Indy, which is something he loves. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him make some noise at Las Vegas. So stay tuned, if you will, for more news on Kyle Larson as we get rolling early into the playoffs. All right. Can't talk about Darlington this weekend without talking about Kyle Busch. Started 33rd, led the most laps on the night. You knew he wasn't going to be in the back long. He got up to the front so quick. He finished stage one in fourth. What does that tell you? It's Kyle Busch. What was also pretty cool is that Kyle and Kurt gave us a little bit of the battle that we thought we might have gotten from them last week at Bristol. And these two finished stage two, 1-2. It's always fun watching these guys finish anything 1-2. And they put on a good show mid-race for the fans, which was awesome. Let's see. Kevin Harvick was a brutal all race. Started 11th and was bouncing back and forth between like 9th and 13th all night long until the last run. They got it dialed in and were making up ground. Now, as a fan, I would have liked to have seen one more restart there to see if he had something for those guys. But just wasn't going to happen there, but that's okay. Last year's winner, Brad Keselowski, looked strong early on. Slipped a little, finished fifth. Nothing great, nothing horrible there, or anything like that. But for me, the story of the night goes to Matt DiBenedetto. Now, you may be asking why. He didn't win any stage points, didn't lead a lap, wasn't in contention to win. And yes, you were correct on all of those. But what he did do was pick up his sixth top 10 in what I think is 12 races. And he also picked up back-to-back top 10s, which is something he has never done in his race career. He's just padding his resume right now. This guy, I've said it, everybody loves Matt DiBenedetto. He deserves a top-tier ride. And I don't know how he could get it. Next year, it doesn't look like it's going to shape out like he's going to be able to get one unless some drastic moves happen somewhere. So that said, he could potentially be stuck, going to a lower tier team, which not that there's anything wrong with that per se. But we have seen what happens with guys like Clint Bowyer, Casey Kane. When you're used to being in good equipment like those guys were, those 36 races where you're going to be struggling for top 15s, that does something. It impacts you a little bit. Look how long it took Clint Bowyer to get back in when he went back to Stuart Haas in the 14 Took him a minute to get. Took Stella a minute to get her groove back. Right. Wow, that was a bad pun there. But anyways, you know, it takes a minute to get your rhythm back there. So, you know, Matt D's in the best rhythm he's ever been in a Cup car. I would hate to have to see him take a step back, but hey. There's going to be another bad one coming up. Sometimes you got to take one step back to take two steps forward. You know, so I think Matt DiBenedetto is going to be the most interesting news in the offseason to see what happens there. And definitely hope something good happens there for him. All right. How about Michigan native Mr. Eric Jones getting it done? You know, I talked about him a couple weeks ago. I thought that it would not have been a big surprise to me if he had come out at Bristol and got the win there. He's done very well in the August race at Bristol. He was not on my radar for Darlington this past weekend, though. You know, he's fallen under a lot of heat as of late. Up until this past weekend, was the only Joe Gibbs car without a win. His first win was that wreck fest at the July Daytona race last year. This win, I think, means more for him, I would think. It was one of NASCAR's crown jewels. He led a good portion of the race. He put together a solid race and earned every damn bit of it. And now all it's done is just add more fuel that some of the other teams probably don't want JGR to have as stable, as all four cars are now playoff bound and locked in. So it's going to be interesting to see what Joe Gibbs Racing as an organization does with four cars in the playoffs. All right. Well, with one race to go in the regular season, Suarez and Newman are tied, with the tiebreaker going to Suarez at the moment. And Johnson is 18 points back. And 18 points is going to be a lot to make up at a track like Indy with long green flag runs that we tend to get there. I'm going to call it now. Johnson's out. He's not making the playoffs. And not that that's some earth-shattering prediction by any means. But I don't think he's going to get it done. And I would not be surprised to see Newman get the edge and sneak in there, which would be pretty surprising for SHR if Suarez isn't able to, considering it's how all four cars last year got in. So see what happens there. I think it would be awesome if someone outside the top 16 gets the win. But this is the house that Kyle has built as of late. So I do not see anything different happening there. I think I have rambled on long enough, so let's get to some social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. While you're there, check out Turn 4 with Intern Teddy. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. On Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And while you're there, subscribe, download, leave a review. All right. So excited about this one over the weekend. You guys were amazing on Sunday. I hit it hard Sunday night on Twitter to try to get to 4,000 followers. And not only did we get to 4,000, but surpassed it, which is even cooler. So huge thank you to everyone that was retweeting the giveaway and all that. So huge thanks to that. About a half hour ago, I gave away on Periscope the Lap Traffic MIS prize pack giveaway to Barb Caputo at Caputo B. So congratulations, Barb. You've got 48 hours to claim your prize, or we'll try it again. That said, on to the next giveaway. Well, the big giveaway is 5,000 followers. Got that rear quarter panel, but I'll come up with some small things in between to help scooch it along, if you will. And speaking of new followers, there are a lot of them. I think over 150 new followers on Sunday, which is just incredible. Obviously, I can't read off all 150 of those, but picked out a few here. Joey at JojoLV48, huge NASCAR fan and a big Bowman, Byron, and Dylan fan. Julian at PoconoSweet14, fan of Pocono and Bowman. I think that's pretty cool as a fan to have your Twitter handle after your favorite track. That's very cool. Tyler Olinsky at T.O. Olinsky from Indiana, a teacher and NASCAR fan. Edward at Big Itch Sheets from Pennsylvania, NASCAR and Pocono fan. Last week got a bunch of Michigan. This week looked like Pennsylvania was leading the charge. So thank you to all the new followers. Hope you like the show. Tell your friends and keep spreading the word. Don't forget to check out the new merch that's on the website on the laptrafficpodcast.com. Got $15 t-shirts. I still have stickers and koozies to send out to you guys. If you want one, fill out the contact page and I will send you one for free. Don't forget about Freddie the Pizza Man's autism charity link. He's the official charity of the Lap Traffic Podcast. And go check out Big Heads Media, at Big Heads Media. Got another awesome promo for one of the awesome podcasts that you can check out on the Big Heads Media Network.
Calling all sports fans, are you looking for an alternate source for sports news, scores, takes, and updates? Well, look no further. On Franchise Tag Sports Podcast, hosted by me, Eric Salas, with the help of frequent guests, we'll give you all the latest and greatest on sports. That's right. I'm talking NFL, the occasional NBA and MLB, and yes, a lot more NFL. I've always loved watching the NFL, and there's no better way to talk sports than flipping on a microphone and giving my opinions on what goes on around the league. Tune in every week for brand new episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter at Franchise Tag Pod and on Instagram at Franchise Tag Sports. It's the Franchise Tag Sports Podcast. We got the sports. You just got to press play.
Well, Lap Traffic Nation, I think that is a very fitting podcast to support here, especially as we kick off football. Had the bonus show last week with Matt Tift as we talked some college football and the big NFL kickoff this week. So that's awesome. That is going to be a podcast for sure that I check out as we kick off football season here this week. Very excited about that. Not so much for my Lions, but Sunday Night Football, Mr. Tom Brady, the GOAT, taking on the Steelers. Very excited about that. All right, business is done. Let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf dialed up. Lapped Traffic Nation, he had to come back live on the air this week to air grievances, to talk about some new experiences, and because we're heading to his home track this weekend. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Brian Newdorf. Sir, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I just realized this is my only form of broadcasting now.
Oh, that's right. That's awesome. All right. So for those that haven't been paying attention either on the show or on Brian's social media, Brian, congratulations. One chapter closes, a new chapter begins. No longer an on-air broadcaster and have started officially with the Weather Channel today. That's awesome.
The Weather Service.
Excuse me.
I was sworn in as a federal employee.
That's awesome. Talk a little bit about what it means to you to no longer be on air and to be working for Uncle Sam.
It's bittersweet. 18 years of being a broadcaster. I mean, I'm still a broadcaster through social media, through all the different channels. I mean, and those skills are needed in the National Weather Service. I mean, their mission is to protect live property and enhance the national economy. So, I'm still a meteorologist. I'm still doing what I love, and I know my skills as a communicator are going to continue. So, let's just now hope NASCAR weatherman, as it is known right now, continues as well. I still enjoy the sport. I'm a NASCAR fan who happens to be a meteorologist, and that's kind of been my motto from the very get-go.
That's awesome. No, I'm excited for the new opportunity and the new chapter. That's always fun. All right, you mentioned NASCAR fan and the Twitter account and all that. So Brian actually called me Sunday, because Brian needed to do a little venting, and I was happy to provide the ear for that because
if it's going to be aired, I'll just vent to you on when we call it.
Right,
venting it out in the open.
So, Brian, man, you took a beating, but from a different perspective. Normally, it's people sending you apps and screenshots and all that, and this time it was from a race time perspective.
I think you cut out there. So can you repeat what you said? I apologize. I am driving in traffic here in Louisville.
Yeah, no. So you took a pounding this week, but not from people sending you screenshotted apps, but it was because of the time perspective this week.
It was a late race. I mean, if this was trucks, it would be no problem. But obviously, it was a 500-mile race. Listen, I just feel like it was like, you know, I've been doing this for 11 seasons. I feel like, you know, you go back 8 years ago, and people would have told me, hey, weatherman, don't give up. They still have lights, or, you know, hey, they can, you know, they still got this, you know, we want to see racing. And, you know, we're like first 15 minutes into the fact that we're past the scheduled time. Oh, let's just do this tomorrow. It's going to be too late. And I was just kind of surprised by that. I mean, I get it. You know, it's a family event. You got kids, you know, you're camping. I mean, somebody even like 30 minutes after the start of the 45 minutes, I think it was about 45 minutes after the start, scheduled start of the race. It didn't start, you know, the rain didn't really stop until 45 minutes or so. So it really wasn't until, you know, 45 minutes after the scheduled start, somebody's like, well, campers are already packed up and leaving. My first thought was, well, if they're leaving now, not even waiting, they were going to leave early anyway.
Yeah. Yep. No, I'm with you. I mean, you know, the people that I felt bad for were the, you know, not so much for the campers, because if you're there camping, you know, you can go back to the campsite, you know, and hang out, party, drink, barbecue, whatever you got to do. I felt bad for the people that traveled just for that day. You know, if you had.
Oh, I know. And I've been there. I've been one of those absolutely. Fans.
You know, we've all been there. You know, you make a 2.5 hour drive. You know, you probably got at least a 3.5 hour drive back just with traffic and all that. You know, that's where it stinks. But I tell you what, you know, I'd like to.
Then again, that's why it's also. Then again, it's also important to, I don't know, check a forecast before you go to the racetrack. And well, if you only knew somebody who provided weather information before that.
See, now that I'm sorry, that's a handy piece of information to have there. So,
but okay, no, I should be. Let me go back to fans. I know that sounded. I'm not trying to be quip. I really am. I'm not. But that's why I do this in the first place. That's why this NASCAR fan, who's a meteorologist, wants that information out there. And I was a little nervous, you know, Tuesday of last week when we recorded. And I said, you know, and actually my odds were way low. At least went to 80%. We still got the race in. Plus, you know, you had a pending hurricane, which nobody really, I mean, nobody kind of expected it to stall like it did. So, bottom line, NASCAR still made the right decision. They got the race in. People were able to get home because of evacuation situations. Yeah, it didn't end until 1:30. It was late, trust me. And I had been up since, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, went back to sleep and stuff. But I still managed to watch it. Listen, I get it. And everybody's life is different. I was once a father of very small children. And I also heard people, you know, somebody took their 80-year-old parent and they had to spend a lot of that time being shoved in like sardines underneath the stands. And that can't be fun for anybody. And I get that. And I'm not saying there's a right or wrong decision at all. I just feel like you're never going to please everybody. You can't, and you're not going to. So the bottom line was this. I feel like NASCAR made the best decision given the hand that was dealt. Trust me. The big thing that I think I took away, the one thing I wanted fans to know about, was I was off by 5 miles.
Right.
5 miles was the difference between racing and not racing. And what happened was, and I was showing this when it started happening, that cell that moved in started clearing itself from the center. I was like, okay, great. But then it met another boundary literally right over the track. And on the big scale, like the day before, there's no way you're going to see that. There's just absolutely no way you're going to see that. And there's no way I could have prepared anybody for that it was just going to sit there, but be 5 miles, maybe even less, to the north. And it's, you know, not raining.
Yeah. Plus, that's well within standard deviation there, sir. So
very well. And yes. I mean, I hate it. And that's where the fan in me is like, man, I want to race too. I mean, people say I root for rain. That's actually, no I don't.
I'm with you. All right, man. Let's press on. Let's talk real quick. Your Boilermakers, man. Tough loss this weekend.
It's one loss, right? Michigan knows things about one loss.
We do. Hashtag Appalachian State, never forget. all right. Man, we are going to Indy this week. It's your home track. I know, unfortunately, you're probably not going to be able to make the race, but you got to love when they go to Indy. What are we looking forward to, hopefully looking forward to this weekend?
Well, it doesn't look extremely hot. I know this weekend, actually, because I'm not too far south, and I know the weather down here in Kentuckiana is actually looking very nice with lower 80s. But the downside, while the weather's great here for Kentucky Speedway and areas south, there's a small chance going into Sunday afternoon of a system trying to come in. I'd say the odds of racing at this point, I'm going to go 70% with a chance. of showers at this point. That's my guess. But generally speaking, I do think we're going to end up what's going to end up happening is I think we'll probably be dry, but I'm going to be a little conservative because I look at the information and there's a chance for a shower or a thunderstorm Sunday afternoon, maybe holding off until Sunday night. But because we're so early in the forecast, I'm not ready to pull that trigger, if you will.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Have you been to a couple of the NASCAR Brickyards? I assume that you have.
I went to one.
I got to go to one. Do you remember who won? Was it a special moment?
Jimmy Johnson won. Jimmy Johnson won. And it was also the year that I became official NASCAR media because Tony Stewart called me a jackass.
That's funny. That's a claim to fame, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a story for another time. But yes, I became official NASCAR media because Tony Stewart called me a jackass. It was all in fun, but yeah, still, yes.
That's funny. Well, speaking of media, I'll throw the word social in front of it. Thank you very much for your contributions this past Sunday night. In retweeting and helping me get to 4,000 followers, you played a nice role in that. So thank you very much.
I did what I can, and I'm hoping it's one of those people who win it. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Well, by the time this is aired and people can download it, it'll already be determined who won. But I have yet to do it as of the record of this segment here. So I'll be doing it here in about an hour or so. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Well, congratulations on getting there. Now, what's the next big number?
The next big one's 5,000, to which I've got an awesome. I'm actually giving away.
You're giving away tickets to every race and VIP.
Yeah, if NASCAR sponsors me, sure, I'll be happy to do that. But no, I'm actually giving away a rear quarter panel off of a Eric Almirola 43 car that's got a nice STP logo on it. It was involved,
but it's not a throw.
It's actually a pretty cool piece, and everybody loves to collect sheet metal, so give it away.
A throwback, right? It's not a throwback paint scheme.
It is. Well, no, it's not a throwback, but it was from, I think, the Daytona, where it was like the Florida orange. So it's blue, but it's got a nice STP logo on it. So it's pretty cool. All right, Brian, thank you so much for calling in. So happy for you with the new job and all of that. Hopefully we can continue as NASCAR weatherman and everybody. In the meantime, make sure you are following Brian on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN. And Brian, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right, man. We'll see you. Always great to catch up with Mr. Brian Newdorf. Congratulations, sir, on the new venture there. All right, it is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know the drill by now. Tweet your Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks, and I'll read them after the show and tag you guys. Or you can call the Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538, and you can leave your picks there, and I will play them back. All right, my Lucky Dog of the race weekend is going to the fans and Dale Jr. Like I said a little bit ago, just an awesome experience if you were able to take that in person or even on the couch. See Dale Jr. out on the track is something special right now. So that was fantastic. Lap down, Mother Nature, the weather. See ya. Lap down for sure. All right. Let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog. Eric Jones has increased to a 2% win percentage. That's funny. I like that. Lap down. Multi-way tie for Scott between Johnson, Byron, and Bush. Two had bad luck, and one was, as we say in the Midwest, ran out of talent before the race was done. I like that, Scott. Good job this week. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky dog, that Jones boy, proven that Darlington is not too much to tame. Lap down, Kyle Busch, proven the latter, the lady in black, was too much for him in the end. No idea how he pulled off that podium finish. Let's see here. Joey's number one fangirl at Logano Updates. Lucky dog, Jones, for shocking us all. Well, maybe while we were sleeping, if you're like me. I like that. Lap down, Chase, but maybe more so his fans, starting to act like Newman out there. Wow, do not want to be called Newman out there. That's funny. Let's see here. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, Lucky Dog Jones, beat the best of the best to win his first crown jewel. Lap down, Johnson, even on their best night, bad luck bites him in the ass. That it did. John at D Nader's Lucky Dog, West Coast time. I saw a great race and still got to bet at a decent time. John, look at you taking advantage of the West Coast time. I like that. A lap down weather. I'd sure like to see rain on a road course so we can try those rain tires for the Cup Series. It's not on an oval. Hashtag Mother Nature likes oval rain. Look at you. I like that hashtag. Andrew at Cancian, the voice of the Wave Around Hotlines. Lucky dog, easily Jones. Big middle finger to all the people who doubted his ability. Wheeled it at one of the toughest tracks. Lap down. Johnson, wrong place, wrong time. Curious to see if the speed translates to Indy. And Eddie at EG3 underscore fast Eddie's lucky dog Larson with his fifth consecutive top 10 finish. He's rounding into form with playoffs nearing. A lap down, Newman and Jimmy, 400 miles left to make things happen. Eddie, I said it on Twitter. I like that. I think that's a great way to put this into perspective. You got 400 miles to make the dance. Who gets it done? All right. Those are your tweeted responses. Let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
And here you thought you were rid of me that easy. It's Aaron Studwell, at Aaron Studwell on Twitter, calling with my lap down and lucky dog pick. I'll start with my lucky dog is Eric Jones. Finally got that Joe Gibbs Toyota into victory lane on the very rain-delayed Darlington race. Congrats to him. My lap down pick is for Mr. Denny Hamlin and one of the other Joe Gibbs Toyotas. After what happened in the Xfinity late race, losing the lead, losing the win, a better way to phrase that. But that did help Cole Custer, my pick for fantasy, get first place there. And then also, what happened on Sunday night, I'm not sure if it's Sunday night or Monday morning by that time, getting caught up in the accident and then getting turned around, kind of turned around by Corey LaJoie and pit road. So that really sums up a bad weekend for him, and off to Indy we go. Hope everything's going well, and thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Mr. Aaron Studwell, the only voice this weekend on the Wave Around Hotline. Man, just when I thought I could get rid of him in fantasy, nope, he uses the platform of the Wave Around Hotline to get back on the show. Just kidding, of course. Had a great time with Aaron last week with Matt Tift. And yes, as you guys know, fantasy's coming up next, and Mr. Aaron Studwell has been unseated. Thank you for calling in, sir. I appreciate that. However, your nickname is now Three Take Aaron Studwell, as he took him three attempts to get that voicemail in there. I got three messages here from him, all that start and stop. So Three Take Aaron from now on is what we're going to call him. All right, that is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks, which means it is time for some Lap Traffic Fantasy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time for this week's fantasy segment. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. And the Twitter interaction has been on point lately as we close out segment 2 and get ready to set the playoff field here in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Just a reminder, this is the last week to set the field for the Lap Traffic playoffs, which I'm very excited about. So without further ado, joining me on the line, he is your new leader in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. With 1 week to go, he has unseated Aaron Studwell after 9 weeks up top. He's got a 3-point lead heading into the last week of segment 2. Mr. Ted Anderson, sir, what's up? How are you, man?
How you doing, Brandon?
I am awesome, man. Thank you so much for calling in. Glad to have you on the show.
Yep, I'm glad to be here.
Hey, man, what'd you think of the racing from Darlington this past weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's a funny story. Actually, with as far as the Cup race, we were having a little get-together in the rain delay. Well, it was me and Brett Morris and a few others.
Good old
B. Wayne. We didn't quite get to see the – B-Wayne.
B-Wayne.
We didn't quite to see the end, so we seen it the next morning. So that's how that worked out.
You're not the only one in that boat. My wife goes to me, she goes, there's no way you're going to make it to the end of this race. I go, oh, I'm making it to the end of this race. And granted, I had shifted from, I went from the bar to the couch to the bed, but I made it to the end.
Yep, it was just a nice little get together, but yeah, that's the way that worked out.
That's awesome.
An Xfinity race, I happened to be at a concert of all things, so I didn't get to see that. It was a busy weekend for Labor Day.
Anybody good?
Kiss.
Oh, very cool. Yep. That's awesome. That's
yep, very like cool. A big throwback band. Yep.
I love it. Well, speaking of throwbacks, what was your favorite throwback from this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, Earnhardt.
Oh, Junior's car. Of course. That was awesome.
Yes.
That was very cool.
Yep, that was my favorite.
All right, man. You have been chipping away at Aaron's lead ever so slightly the last couple weeks. Can you hold on to it for 1 week? What's your strategy going to be?
We will see. Well,
we'll find out, right, when we get to the picks.
Yeah, we will find out when we get to the picks.
All right. Well, let's recap this past weekend here. 11 players picked Custer and inherited a win, just like Cole Custer did this past weekend. One player, Mr. Andrew Kantsian, picked Eric Jones. So nice job there. No sweep. Week high was 103 points by Greg Whited with his picks of Kyle Busch and Cole Custer. Second weekly high was 102 by Joel Nolf, John King, and Mr. Mick Rose with their picks of Larson and Reddick. My picks of Briscoe and Matt DiBenedetto got me a whopping 71 points. And here's where it all makes a difference. Aaron Studwell picked Hamlin and Custer for only 74 points. But, sir, your picks of Kyle Busch and Christopher Bell got you 98 points and, more importantly, the lead. Nice pick in there this past weekend.
Mm-hmm, yeah, thank you.
All right. Let's hit the standings here. Top five in segment two with 1 week to go. Mr. Ted Anderson, 1455 with a 3-point lead over Aaron Studwell in second with 1452. In third is David James with 1430. Two-way tie for fourth with 1421 with David Mullins and John King. And John Entwistle wraps out the top five with 1418. All right, here's where it gets interesting. All right, here are the current... let's see. I believe it is 16 players right now. There are no ties in the cumulative standings. So right now it's Ted Anderson, John Entwistle, David Mullins, Matt Crowd, Paul Hollenbeck, Robert Kemplinger, David James, Greg Whited, Chad Robb, Jess Rose, Aaron Studwell, Mick Rose, Michael Elliott, Brad Kearns, Crystal Smoke, and John King are all currently in with 1 week to go. Right now, the MOATF podcast is the first team or play, because it's a team, because they can't pick individually. They go as a podcast. They are the first ones out looking in, 7 points back in 17th. Brett Morris, Mr. B. Wayne, is, 22 points out, and John Warrington in 19th. So some things can happen. You're going to have to go outside the box. Ted, more importantly than you're overtaking here in segment two is the fact that you are the current leader, which is going to get you some bonus points here in the playoffs.
Awesome.
I love you. I love the man of few words. He's going to let his pick speak for himself. I love that. All right, sir. Are you ready to make some picks?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it. Lap Traffic Nation, we are headed to the Brickyard. It is the final race of the regular season. It's the final week of Segment 2 in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. It is crazy to think that we have ran 25 cup races at Indy, and Chevy has won 17 of those races, which includes a streak of 12 in a row, dating back to Harvick's win in 2003 and ended with Gordon's win in 2014. Since Gordon's win there, it's been the Kyle Busch show. He finished second following Gordon, and he followed that up with back-to-back wins in 15 and 16. And that's something that hasn't been done since Johnson did it back in 08 and 09. He was strong in 17 but got involved in a wreck. Kyle Busch will be a safe pick this week, but if you're looking to make noise and get into the lap traffic playoffs, you're going to have to think outside the box. Maybe that outside the box might be this past week's winner, Eric Jones. He finished second here last year, or maybe even Paul Menard. He's got a few top tens and a win here as well. Can Jimmy Johnson make noise and get into the playoffs? Can the MOATF podcast make it into the lap traffic playoffs? We will find out this weekend, but first it is time for our picks. Ted, I'll start with you. Who is your pick for the Xfinity Series this weekend?
Well, I think in my home track, it's going to have to be Christopher Bell.
C-Bell for the win for Mr. Ted Anderson. I am going with Justin Allgaier. He has struggled as of late to do anything outside of the top 10, really. He needs to get some playoff points. So I'm going with Justin Allgaier in the Xfinity Series. All right, sir. The big show Sunday, the Brickyard. Who is your cup pick?
Well, I am going to have to go with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski, and I believe that would be his first Brickyard win. I think that is a solid pick there, sir. All right, I am going to go with Mr. Jimmy Johnson because I've got nothing to lose. So I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson. All right, Ted, man, thank you so much for calling in this week. Good luck as you try to keep that three-point lead this week to close out segment two, man.
All right. Thank you, Miranda.
Absolutely. Enjoy the race this weekend.
Yep, you too.
Thanks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 148 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. This one was fun. Three call-ins tonight, and I kept it to a 70-minute show. You are welcome. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, leave a review. Big thanks to Dennis Bickmeyer of Richmond Raceway, Brian Newdorf, and Ted Anderson for calling in. I'll see what I can piece together for next week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!